set on a tabletop around which four very well-qualified meditators sit.
Okay.
And they go into a deep meditative state. They cleanse, mentally cleanse the terrain of the tabletop. And when things seem right, one of the members states a specific intention for the device. The intention would be for the device to influence a particular target experiment, which I'll get to. And so then the four people hold that intention in their own way for about 15 minutes. And then the statement is given, so be it, thy will be done. And then there is a subsidiary intention given to seal the primary imprint into the device so that there's no wasteful leakage of the imprint away.
All right, I've got to stop you again.
Okay.
The end sentence seems to have religious connotation. Now, is that...
Well, it might have spiritual connotation.
Spiritual connotation.
But I doubt that it's religious.
Okay, all right.
Well, let me give you my bias. My bias is that we are all spirits having a physical experience as we ride the river of life together. And our spiritual parents dressed us in these bio-body suits and put us in this playpen, which we call a universe, in order to grow in coherence, in order to develop our gifts of intentionality.
Did you say grow in coherence
or grow in coherence? Coherence, right.
I'm not sure which way we're going there, buddy.
Yep. Okay, and to develop our gifts of intentionality and to become what we were intended to become, which is co-creators with our spiritual parents. That's my bias.
Got it.
Okay?
Yes.
So in essence, there are indeed spiritual overtones here.
But not necessarily specific religious ones at all, just spiritual.
Not in any way specific religious ones.
I've got it. One last thing. These meditators that you had, where did you get them?
Well, my wife and I were two of them.
Ah.
We've been meditating for 35, 40 years.
Okay.
And the other two happened to be friends that we knew were well qualified.
Good enough.
Yeah.
All right, so now.
And so then basically we would come out of meditation and we would pass it around and see what it felt like. To see if it felt as if it was cooked enough. And by and large we generally went back in and did it a second time, but we've never done it more than a second time.
All right.
And so then we did an experiment in which we set these two devices, the control and the imprinted device. So we'll call them the unimprinted and the imprinted. We set them about 100 meters apart, and we turned them off electrically. And we noted, we left them that way for a number of days. We noted that in less than a week, the imprint had somehow transferred from the imprint, IIED, we call that an intention-imprinted electrical device.
Yes.
To the UED, the unimprinted device.
Are you telling me that information that was in an EEPROM in one of your devices...
Yes.
...transferred into the EEPROM of a second device?
That's what we infer from the result.
Good God. Good Lord. How can that...
Well, you'll understand as we go through and talk about the experiments. But the issue is, it indicated that there was another information channel available in the universe that we knew nothing about. And it certainly was not electromagnetic, and that'll become very clear.
Well, right away, that's what I want to know about. How can you be sure that what you have not built is a receiver and transmitter capable of some kind of direct transmission?
Well, it's turned off electrically. There's no electrical power.
Well, yes, but they were on during the intent portion of it.
It was on during the intent imprinting, exactly, and then we turned them off.
Well, now, was there an original program in the main one?
No program.
Oh, there's no program. Both EEPROMs are empty.
Yep, yeah, both empty.
Okay, I'm getting
it. There's nothing placed intentionally in the system.
Got it.
And then our concern was, how the heck are we going to do experiments with these? Well, we realized that electromagnetism was secondarily involved, so we placed the control device in a small electrically grounded Faraday cage, and we took the imprinted device and we wrapped it in aluminum foil and we put it in an electrically grounded Faraday cage.
Huh.
And in this way, we were able to maintain the imprint in the device.
Absolutely.
For the order of 3 to 4 months.
Holy mackerel.
Which meant that we could then do experiments.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And now you're going to tell me that despite the Faraday shielding...
Oh, we could take them out. We basically would take them out and ship them. We'd wrap them. We'd send them by FedEx to a laboratory 1,500 miles away where the target experiments were set up.
Wow.
And so that's sort of how we did it. We didn't send the unimprinted device at the same time as the imprinted device because we wanted to minimize any kind of information transfer. And then when they got it was up in Minnesota, and when they got there, they were placed immediately in separate electrically grounded Faraday cages until we were ready to run the experiment.
Holy mackerel.
So that's step one.
Yes.
Okay.
I don't even know what... There's a million questions.
Right. Well, why don't I tell you what the target experiments were and what we found.
Please.
Okay. There were four target experiments, and one target experiment means one of these devices, okay? Because you
right.
only have one imprint.
Right.
So the first one was to take highly purified water in equilibrium with air, and the imprint intention was to increase the pH of the water by one full pH unit. Now, in terms of how big is one pH unit, that's a factor of 10 of the hydrogen ion concentration, but if you take a human body... We all have a pH level in us. If you move a half a pH point on one side, that is, you go up, let's say,
yes,
you're probably dead. If you go a half a unit the other way, you're probably dead. So
that's a lot.
It's a lot. That's the point. And it's in equilibrium with air, and so that means that the pH of the water becomes largely determined by the carbon dioxide concentration of the air. That
uh-huh.
was target experiment one. Target
right.
experiment two was to take the same water, and the imprint intention was to lower the pH by one full pH unit. Our measurement accuracy was 1/100th of a pH unit. So we were asking for a signal that was 100 times the noise.
That's a lot to ask for.
The third experiment was we moved into the biological realm and we took a particular liver enzyme, alkaline phosphatase.
Now, I know that I shouldn't have to stop you really and ask you this, but I can't resist.
Yeah,
you're telling me you did this. We're not just...
We did this, and it was remarkably successful. Okay?
Repeatably.
Well, we'll come to the replication experiment. After we go through what we discovered with these before. I mean, replication is always... By replication by others in other sites is always an important part of a piece of scientific work. We replicated it many, many, many times ourselves. Okay, the first 3 years of experiments, we did all these things ourselves. And it was only then that we started the external site experiments. We found some money to do that.